We want to look at the seventh and final encounter with God of Jacob that we will be looking into. I'm sure he had many more in his life. Okay, beginning in Genesis 35, verse 9. Then God appeared to Jacob when he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name." So he called his name Israel. So God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I give to you and to your descendants after you. I give this land." Then God went up from him in the place where he had talked with him. So Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had talked with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. Now, as we move on in the series of Jacob, I want us to see some subtle differences here, because what God was doing is ratifying. And I just like to clear up something on behalf of the Lord, that he doesn't have amnesia and he doesn't forget things he has said to you. But many times when the Lord says something twice, it's because it's confirmed and ratified. Not that he is reminding, if anything, he's reminding us of things we have forgotten and left. He's reassuring us that what he said to us the first time is really what's going to come down. It's unalterable. That he has made that decree and it's unalterable. And so here God is repeating himself in a way and adding a few details to it. Again, he brings up the fact that God is a God of family. And you can see every step. But notice that when God is through speaking now to Jacob in this appearance, it says he went up from him. If you'll notice in his first appearance at Bethel, he saw the Lord where? He saw the angels that went up from earth, so they were already down there with him. The Lord had sent his angels with him, but this time the Lord himself came with him. Because if you'll notice, on the first time around, when Jacob had the encounter with God through the dream, he sees the angels ascending on a ladder and then, of course, descending. But he saw the Lord up there on the top in heaven on the top of the ladder. This time he was on the bottom, and the Lord did something when he was through with Jacob. He went up from him. And so this was a place where God was. It wasn't only the house, but God was in the house. That is why we left last time with Jacob building an altar to God and calling it the God of the house of God, El Bethel. But when it was all done with, he again calls the place Bethel. And we will look into that if we get there this morning. We begin to see here a revelation of God to him that was very important. A revelation that God is not only in the place, that was not only a place of God, but that God was in the place of God. In other words, he was inhabiting the place. Before, God was above the place. This was a place of God. He sends his angels down there. He does things. There are churches like this. There are churches where God dispatches his angels, blesses people, does all he needs to do. But God's not in the house. It's just a house of God. But then there are development in Christian people's lives, like with Jacob, where the Lord appears to them, comes to them, is real to them, and God is in the house of God. And so it's not just a revelation of the God of the house of God, it's God present in the house of God. That's the presence of God in his house. And so the revelations are very different. And sometimes as we read the story, we feel like they're all alike, but they're really not, because God has a real message here. That God was in the house when he appeared to Jacob. If you'll go back just a few scriptures, you will find that the Lord had said to Jacob to get up out of Shechem and leave there and go back to Bethel, because that's what he had told him at Laban's house in a dream. And so first in a dream, then he actually literally hears the voice of God. Now it's getting stronger and stronger. There's a progressive revelation in Jacob's life, as in every Christian's life, there'll be a progressive revelation of God. It begins in the dream format. That means at a distance without you really experiencing it, but yes, you experience it afar off through shadows, through the gray line. Then it's audible voices where you hear His voice, He directs you, you hear His commands, you obey His commands, and you walk with God in a relationship of Him telling you what to do, and you do it. Whether there's delays or not in the life of Jacob or ours, that's neither here nor there. The thing is the revelation. The revelation came by dreams in Bethel and also in Laban's, and then it progressed to where he heard the voice of the Lord. Now, remember that when the Lord had appeared to Jacob at Peniel, the fifth encounter, there was another thing that took place here. He saw God, but through the shadows. God is getting nearer now. Now, God was in that place, but God was wrestling with him. He did not call that the house of God because the Lord, it says, met him there. He met a man. Those are the places of encounter with God. It could be at your house. It could be in some conference. It could be in some church where we go. If we were to liken our life like the life of Jacob, you just come into those experiences and out of experiences. We call them experiences. But there are places where God dwells. God dwells in His house. He has a house where He dwells in. And He is present in it and manifests Himself in that house. And that was the house of Jacob. So we see the progression here, how it evolves, where God gets more and more visible in his life and more direct. The last contact with Jacob was to tell him with a strong voice. This time there was more than just a voice, there was a person with a voice. And this time God appears to him, not through shadows of the twilight morning, saying, "You gotta let me go because you can't see my face." This time God appears to him. Jacob is ready to see God's face. Now, I'd like to just stop for a moment and tell you that there's something that God had to work out between wrestling at Peniel, where he wrestles with the Lord and could quite almost see his face and not see his face, and the other place where God reveals himself fully to him. And that was the completion of the obedience to the orders that the Lord had given. Many of us don't realize that our full encounter with the presence of the Lord is dependent on us carrying out the orders we've been given by the Lord and haven't done so yet. And many of us have things that God has determined that we should do, and until we do, we cannot break through to that place. And we need to understand that. God wants us to understand that when we fully obey His voice and do what He tells us to do, that the full manifestation of God would come. You see, Jacob was still wrestling with God. God said, "I want you to go back to your father's house. I want you to face the guy that wants to kill you because I have made peace already. It will be a good encounter, but go." But Jacob was afraid. You know, many times we have names for things that we should change, because when we change the name for what it really is, then we can deal with the real culprit. It wasn't fear. It was unbelief. God had clearly said to him, "Go back to the lands of your father, because I will take you back there in peace. I will take you back there and it will go well with you." God had said that. So why do we call it fear when Jacob, out of fear, wrestled with God that night? It wasn't fear. God had to deal with something in Jacob's life, and that was unbelief. Did God say or did He not? Is God able to perform what He says to us or not? Because if He is, then we have faith has to find works. Faith without works is dead. I can hear God and say, "Oh, great, thank you, God. That's a word from God, brother. I can get a word from God." But unless I obey that word of God, unless I go forward in that word of God, unless I do something because of that word of God, I'm not obeying and putting fulfillment. Now, Jacob did that, but on the way, he encountered some turbulence. When he heard about his brother coming with 400 soldiers, God had actually sent an army of angels to him and said, "Look, there's more with us, really, than there's with him." But Jacob still, having seen the army of angels and having heard the word of God, still needed more to go on. So the Lord basically says at Peniel to Jacob, "You know the problem here? You're too strong. You're too full of yourself. We're going to deal with you here, and you're going to limp after this. When I'm through with you, you're not going to do things in your own strength. You're going to do them in mine. I said I would return you there in peace. I am with you. I am working out. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. The ways of man are not in himself. God directs his ways. Kings' hearts are turned in the hands of God like rivers are turned in the bends of the crevices of the earth." God says to Jacob, "It's all about me here. I am your God. I'm going to direct you. Little worm Jacob, don't worry. But Jacob worries. He was fighting with God. Jacob initiated the fight. He was wrestling with God. He was fighting with God. God's word should have been sufficient. How many of us in our lifetime can identify with this, where God has given us a word, but we've wrestled with that word? I have. We have wrestled with that word. In other words, if I launch out on that, I'm dead meat. No, we're not. You launch out on the word God gives you. And we always have words that we produce to give us escapes. In this case, it was fear. It says, oh, he was so fearful. You know, we have other escape routes. Try this one out. Well, I'm not sure that was God. Yes, I heard the voice. It said, but what if that wasn't God? That could have been the enemy, or it could have been my own mind, or it could have been someone that had pizza the night before and prophesied over me the next day. Who knows? We have all these escape routes for us, because it's a chilling reality to know that God spoke to you and you're on the spot and nothing's going to change until you get it done. I'm in the same predicament over and over and over again. But as Jacob learns to go through with God, God comes through with him. And the revelations to Jacob become more and more apparent. They become clearer and clearer. The dimensions into which he encounters God become higher and higher. Here we have a reality check today for us. God wants to do for us what he did for Jacob. We as he are made out of the same material, the same stuff. He had to overcome his fear and come to his father's house, have an encounter with Esau. When he had an encounter with Esau, God says, I won't meet with you through the shadows anymore. We can do business. Why did God appear to Abraham? He said, because I know Abraham. He'll do everything I ask him to do. If I ask him to kill his child, he'll take that flint dagger in his hand and he'll start plunging it until I stop it. Would you? Would I? I don't know. These people trusted God. But you know what? They were counting on something that most of us don't. God appeared to them. He was there in person talking to them. And when he was through with them, he ate all the morsels they left on a rock with his fire. He just went, the fire, I walked through it and just ate it all up. And then when it was done, he just went, poof, the magic dragon was gone. It's like it's pretty hard not to know that that was something other than a human being. That wasn't just a thought in your brain. Someone came, talked with you, spent all day, told you what he was going to do in Sodom and Gomorrah, ate your food up with this fire, and then disappears like magic before you. And then the next day, you hear this roaring thunder like a train flowing through there. You go up the mountain, see what's happening. You see the smoke going up. And what he told you about Sodom, hey, that's what he did. It's pretty hard now not to know it was God that was talking to you. God can make himself plain. But when God makes himself plain, there's no way out. The plainer God makes himself, the less routes of escape we experience. It's like it shaves them all off and you're down to just bare truth. No clothes on. This is it. No place to hide. No facial creams. Nothing hides the blemishes. They're there. Paul says when we look at God with an open face, without hiding, we are changed from glory to glory. Jacob experienced something very beautiful with God that day, because God not only appeared to him and ratified his promises and guaranteed it through a duplicate of what he'd said to him that it would be done, but God did something that hadn't been done until then. God revealed to him one step further that we covered at the very beginning, and now I'm going to go back to it to go on with it. And that is that not only was this the house of God, not only was this a place where there was heavenly activity, but that God himself was in the house of God. You see, God wasn't up on the top of the ladder this time. He wasn't a mystical being in the middle of the night. God was in the house, fully revealed. God, I wish for that day. Someday when I die, it's the first thing I want to do. Go up there and see him face to face as he really is. This true God that I had every reason to doubt even existed while I was on earth. That every demon in hell put all their yucky vomit on my mind and to make me think that maybe it's just a figment of my imagination. Maybe it wasn't true. Maybe when we die, just die and go into thin air. Maybe there isn't an afterlife. Maybe I shouldn't have served the Lord all my life and just wasted my time when I could have been a millionaire. But when I see him face to face, when I've stood in congregations and been in the glory of God and seen people's lives transformed from then on and forever, miraculous things take place, miracles, healings, deliverances, demons coming out of people screaming, and those people be totally changed from that day forward, I don't really care what your doctrine is. I've been where Jacob was, not just in the house of God, but when God was in his house. Amen. I think some of you have experienced some of the same things. However, we've got a problem if I leave the doctrine like it is. We've got to move on. You say, why? Because God says he doesn't live in houses made by hands of man. So we got a problem. Whoops. Was God in his house? Yes. Was that a house of God? Yes. Was Bethel a house of God? Isn't that what Jacob called it, the house of God? Was God not in his house? Where was the church? Where were the four walls? Did I miss the steeple? Where are the pews? Where was the steeple? House of God? Imaginary. Oh, no, no, no. It was real. God was there. No doubt. And anybody in his family, God was there. That was the house of God because every time they came through there, whoops, there's God. Now we're getting closer to the truth. The house of God is not a geographical place. And it's not a physical building. So we see what the true revelation to Jacob was. The true revelation to Jacob was that the real house of God was the mystical body of Christ that doesn't exist in any one geographical place. And it's not surrounded by any walls where no one can come in and are too afraid to get in there because they're not holy enough. And if they dress with things that pierce their ear or pierce their tongue or go up their nose or come out there who knows where, you know, they just can't go in there. Help me, somebody, please. The true revelation to Jacob was that the house of God is wherever he is. That's his temple. It's not the hands of man. They've tried to create the most beautiful, magnificent, they said never before, never after, has a temple so magnificent with solid gold and everything else ever been created on face earth. It lasted a few years and it was totally ripped apart by heathen kings. And everything in it, even the vessels of gold were taken off. Ripped out of there. Where was God when you needed him on 9/11 of ...1613? Where was God? Where was God that many years before he sent Jesus? Didn't we hear say that in the temple of Solomon, such was the glory and such was the presence of God dwelling in that place that the musicians would fall out under the power and couldn't play their music. The priests would stand to worship and praise and sing and fall out. And they were on flat on their back just worshiping God, tears coming down their face. Preachers, if we're trying to stand up to preach and couldn't, just... The glory of God was so great, it was all about God, not about people. A few years later, nothing left. Whoops, God got destroyed. God's no longer on earth. Poor God. Can I suggest something? I think even the disciples had the wrong idea up there on the Mount of Transfiguration when they wanted to build a tabernacle for God. He said, you don't get it. God started rumbling out of heaven and it sounded like thunder down there. You don't get it. Somewhere between the right revelation given to Jacob to the day we are today and somewhere in between up to Jesus' day, somebody missed it big time because they kept trying to stick God inside of a house made by man. And God said, I just can't do that. Such was the confusion about this, but so clear was that revelation to Jacob that God finally says, okay, I'm going to do it myself. I am going to make a house that I make, not that you make. They're not made by hands of man. They're made by my... And so that you don't think that man had something to do with it, I'm going to do it through woman, but without the man involved. I'm going to make my house, my dwelling place. And so the Father proceeds. And John later writes in the gospel, the first verse, and he was made flesh and came and dwelt among us. Paul later pens, and I could go through all the scripture, I might still, about how it is that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that our bodies are actually the house of God. Let me put it this way to you. I just heard the other day something that was really interesting when we were gone to the location, Pastor Jeff Johns. For just a few moments, he started talking about Jacob. I said, oh, Lord, it's everywhere. When you begin to talk about Jacob in the church, everywhere you turn to, everybody's talking about Jacob and the experiences of Jacob. And he was saying this, that Jesus was the revelation of Jacob's revelation. That's how he said it. That Jesus was the revelation of Jacob's revelation. Jacob's revelation is that God has a house on earth. He dwells on earth. It's his house. He makes the house. Did he not call it Bethel, the house of God? He didn't say our house where God dwells. He just said it's his house. It's his house. The revelation that God gave Jacob was Jesus. When he said that there was a king that all families of the earth would be blessed in, who was he referring to? Jesus. When he said that there would be a governor whose throne would never end, who was he referring to? Jesus. When he's talking about the capital of the world, when God gets through with this world, burns it up, makes a new world, and has 1,000 years where he reigns upon it just as a figure to show us what it's going to really be like, he planted it right in the heart of Canaan, in the city of Jerusalem, right on Mount Zion, and he said, I'm going to come and reign from there for 1,000 years just to show you in the new heaven and new earth, Israel is going to be the center of all the earth. And all the people to worship and to see God are going to have to go up there. So what was Jacob's revelation? Jacob, this is my place. This is my land. This is mine. He said, well, God didn't say that. Yes, he did. He said, the land whereon you're on, I will give it to you. Can I give you something that's not mine? Do you have the keys to your truck? I will give you this. Now, you're going to have a hard time getting paperwork to prove that, and you're going to have a hard time explaining to the police that she's going to send down the road after you that you didn't steal that. Now, didn't I give this to you? I'll give you the truck that goes with it. Now, the question is, can I give it to her? Oh, no. I can give it to nobody. It's not mine to give. How can I give the owner something that they already own? Jesus said, this land of Canaan, all of it, do you see it? This land I'll give you. Who owned it? He did. He said, this is my land. I don't care if Palestinians live on there, or who lives on there, or who fights for it. This is my land. And in the end, when it's all done, they'll all be dust before me, but this land will be my land. Praise the Lord. So Jesus was the revelation of Jacob's revelation, because Jacob's revelation is that God has a house, he dwells on it, and he dwells on earth. Didn't it say that the full Godhead dwelt in Christ Jesus? Not just in part, but God Almighty dwelt in Christ Jesus. That was the first temple God made on earth to dwell on earth. That's God's dwelling place. Now, as he is, so are we. He says, Jesus said, if you love me and follow what I say to you, he said, then I'll come to you and we'll live in you and you will live in me. He said, I will come to you, and I will dwell and make my abode in you, and so will my Father, because you've accepted me, come and dwell in you and live in you. Who got left out of the Godhead dwelling in us? The Holy Spirit. And so Jesus said to them, when he breathed on them, he said, receive the Holy Spirit, which now shall be on you, but shall be in you. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The Godhead dwelling in us. God revealed this to Jacob because Jacob represents who? Moi, all of us. Amen? Jacob represents the church. Jacob represents the house of God. God dwells in his house. He dwells in you right now. He dwells in me. He dwells in us. This is the house of God. He manifests himself. Sometimes we get together and the Lord will come and appear. Sometimes he'll just bring his presence. Sometimes he'll just speak to us in his voice. But God is always in his house. God's not going away from his house. It was because the Holy Spirit was dwelling in Jesus that Jesus went around doing miracles, doing good to people, saving the sick, bringing people that were in sin into hope and forgiving their sin. Jesus went about doing good, delivering people from demonic activity and demonic powers. Jesus went around doing good. He said, when my Holy Spirit that I have that dwells in me dwells in you, you'll have the power from on high to do the same things and even greater things than I did. Will you do? Why? Because the revelation that God gave Jacob is the revelation that we have ourselves in our own life. God dwells in us. Like he dwelled in Christ. Like he was with Jacob. That day was the house of God and God was in his house. Thank the Lord for that. If not, I'd have to really look around to see where I could find a church. And whoops, if it's in China, not here, I got to move to China. Thank God that His house is everywhere. It's in me. And when I need God, like last night, and I call out to the Lord, even in my sleep, and I wake up with tears in my eyes, I can contact the Lord because the house of the Lord is my bedroom. You know how I know? Because God dwells in me and I was in my bedroom. This is God's house right here. So, man, you know, I thought it'd be nicer. Hey, this is God's house and it is real nice, and don't knock at it all, because the house of God is you. The house of God is me. We are the fulfillment of the revelation to Jacob. Behold the God in the God of heaven, in the house of God. God in the house of God. That's what Jacob said. He called the place Bethel after having raised the altar and called it the God of the house of God. He's got the house of God, and he's got the God of the house, and he's got God in his house. All three. He had all three. And God was fully manifested. Now listen, God didn't transport Jacob into some mysterious heavenly place up at the top of that mysterious ladder. It says God came down, and when he was through, he went up the ladder. Do you know, God loves to dwell with men on earth. That was his whole idea. God's mock pattern, in other words, the preliminary pattern, was given to Moses. God says, I want you to put all the children of Israel in tribes to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west, in the form of a cross, if you're looking at it from the top. And each tribe had all their encampment around. And he said, I want you to put the tabernacle congregation in the middle. I want you to have something in the middle, because I want to dwell in the midst of my people. That's as good as it could get. What did we say about Jacob? That it was an ongoing revelation? Well, here's the ongoing revelation. Jacob understood it only as a theory. Moses now understands it as God literally now wanting a physical place on earth to live. That's why the Jews think that that's the only place God's going to come to earth and live. And that's on the physical place of Zion. Well, that's going to be the White House, the Capitol Hill. You know, that's going to be the Capitol Hill someday. Well, that's fine by me. If you'd like to lobby, you know where to go. Listen, don't criticize that statement. Jesus said, my father's like the judge, that the woman came and lobbied all day long. She just wouldn't hear of it till she get what she wants. He just said, I'm sick of this. Like a judge, give her what she wants. God's going to have some Christian lobbyists on Capitol Hill of Israel when he's ruling and reigning. People that go to him and tell him all about what's happening in this area and what we need in this area, and we need more funds in this area, everything we do. The revelation of Jacob was the house of God. We are the house of God. We are the fulfillment of the revelation to Jacob. And with Moses, it was a halfway thing where God revealed that he wanted to dwell in the midst of his people. Now, he not only dwells in the midst of us, but he is in each one of us. And when we gather together, he manifests himself in the midst of us like he did with Moses, because God loves living with us. God, for now, came down to Jacob. Now, while we're in this world, God's going to come down. But one day, we are going up. Is Jacob, do you think, experiencing God? Is Jacob experiencing God? Yes or no? Yes. Is God still coming down here for him, or did he just plain go up and they're having fun up there? So for a season, God comes down in our life, but that's going to be over with someday, and we're going to go up there. But guess what? It says we're all coming back here again, and we come back with Christ that won't be in heavenly places anymore. He'll be here on Capitol Hill, dwelling and reigning in each heart, full of Christians, full of glory, and the glory of the Lord shall fill the earth like the prophets prophesied, and no one will be able to stop it. Praise God for that. Won't be filled with evil. Turn on the news, and you're not going to hear all about the yucky stuff. You're going to hear all about the great things that are happening everywhere. Imagine turning on the TV, hearing about revival after revival. You don't have to run around. You just have to go and storm Capitol Hill, do a little bit of lobbying, and take some with you. Praise the Lord. Now we have another dilemma with Jacob. He had two names. God once again ratifies to Jacob, you are Jacob, but you're going to be Israel now. We're just going to call you Israel. Well, that wasn't news to him. He had told him that at Peniel already. He'd had that experience. So God must be forgetful. No, God wasn't forgetful. There was a revelation that he was trying to get through to Jacob that he hadn't gotten, and at this time around he got. Did you realize that later on in the scriptures, most of the time you read the scriptures, you hear alternately the name Jacob? I'm the Lord God of Jacob. I'm the Lord God of Israel. Well, wait a minute. Is it Israel or is it Jacob? You know what? It's both. Because Jacob was his earthly name. That referred to him as a human person. Israel refers to his spirit name. Jacob had two identities, one with God. We all have a name. The Bible says that he has given us a name that no man knows, that he has given us. He calls us by our name. And when he says he calls you by his name, he's not calling you by Ruth or Karen or Robert or Derry or Deborah or you know, whoever. He's not calling us by our natural name necessarily. He's calling us by our spiritual name. God said, I'm going to refer to you in your spiritual name. But people are going to refer to you in the natural and spiritual, because there's both things that are taking place in our life. We are spiritual beings and we are natural beings. Natural things. You see, Jacob, as a natural man, notice I said Jacob, not Israel. Jacob, as a natural man, owned a piece of real estate in the land that God said he would own. But you see, Jacob couldn't own all of it. He could just own this little piece of it by faith. But spiritually, as Israel, he would own what God said. You see, God couldn't let Jacob own the whole property. Anybody that rich in that day would get killed off by the surrounding kings of the nation. So what did God do? God changed Jacob into Israel and gave Israel the nation that's called today by its rightful name. There you go. What do they call the actual soil, the actual land that God said, I'm going to give you? What's the name of it? Israel. Who was the guy that lived there? You see, Israel refers to the spiritual inheritance. And when God was speaking to the spirit man, when God was speaking to the children of Israel, he was speaking about the spirits of just men made perfect. Once they're in heaven and not so perfect, living on earth. God was referring to the spirit man of the individuals that were today we call Christians. In those days they called them Jews. The children of Israel, God never called them the children of Jacob, the children of Israel, because they were the seed of promise. It was all about the spiritual revelation that God was giving them, that his house would embark all this land and that someday this land would bear the name of his spiritual experience. And his spiritual name. God didn't give that real estate to one individual to walk around like a billionaire on earth and say that they own a quarter of the earth. God said, this is my land. No man's going to own this. But where does God live? That's right. Somebody pointed here. I need to hear it. In us. Where did God live in Israel's day? In Jesus. Is it any wonder to you that Jesus went everywhere, all through, from the top to the south, to the north, to the east, to the south, to the west? You know why? God had said to Joshua that every place the foot of his feet should go, he would give it to him. Whoops, he messed up. He went over into Samaria. No, Samaria came over into the land that was God's and still does. This isn't about politics. This is about teaching us something very important for you to get right in your heart and mind. God dwells in human beings. The spiritual Israel, the name of the land is after them. We call ourselves Christians. Does God dwell in Christians? Some. If you truly had this revelation, you would take your feet and you would take something else and you would sit it in other countries. And you might just be talking at the table with some people somewhere in Spain or Italy or Romania or Argentina or Central America or China or South Africa. But God that was living in you and is living in you just spent some time where? In those countries. Every place the sole of your feet treads is what will be given to you. God said to Jacob, you shall be called Israel. I will give this land to Israel. It shall be Israel. When God makes up the new geography and the new heaven and the new earth, you're going to be surprised how much of that belongs to me. How much of that you'll have authority and jurisdiction over. Some of you lovely little backdoor yard people that never left Georgia to start traveling. Just go on a vacation. Take Jesus with you. Walk on some other land. I've walked on Georgia from the northest part to the southernest part. I've gone around every lake and every river. I just put my feet there. And every once in a while, when I liked the place, I sat there or stayed overnight. Because there's a promise God made to us, and that I know of, He never took it back. What does it say? I know I'm playing with you a little bit, but God did say that the meek would inherit the earth someday. Some of you don't think in real estate. You're thinking too mysteriously. Think in real estate. God says real estate wise, the meek will inherit the earth. My question to you is, what part of the earth do you plan to inherit? If you'd like a big chunk of it, you better leave your back door. Walk, go, claim. Say, Lord, this is us. God's giving you jurisdictions and places where you'll rule and reign. Look at a map. You'll see the little gray line or a little green line everywhere. What does it mark? Jurisdictions. Jurisdictions of counties. Jurisdictions of states. Jurisdictions of whatever. Cities. Amen? Well, start marking out some of yours. Start marking out some of the places you're going to have jurisdiction over to come in here and bring the word of the Lord into there and bring the place of the Lord there. Say, well, why buy a little piece of real estate? I'll tell you why, because that's what Jacob did. He bought a little small piece of real estate of what someday he would be in charge over all of it. And one day his seed, David, reigned over all the terrain there and all about. How'd Jacob get there? Oh, very simple. He believed God, and because he believed God by faith, he bought a piece of property. And you know what God did? God turned a mistake that he made into a triumph of victory. He said, okay, Jacob, I know you made a mistake hanging up at Shechem, but I'll tell you what. I'll take that as your little first fruit of faith in believing that I'm going to give you the whole bunch of it. That's why I want to go out and buy a piece of property, even if it's the wrong one, I want to buy it. And if I find out there's another one that's right, I'll buy it too. But I don't have to buy that much. Just a little piece is enough. And I want to tell you something. Because I believe God's coming back to Georgia and I'll have something to do in Georgia, I bought a house on it. On a lake too, because I like lakes. And I bought it in foreclosure. Somebody took the hit. Said, well, I'm just from Georgia. I bought a little house. I rent. Buy. Oh, I can't. My credit's not good. Buy. God's credit is excellent. He'll teach you how to do things. I didn't mean for this to be a real estate class. But it's in the message. Jacob bought a piece of real estate in the place where he would own and where his family would rule someday over all that place. It was all theirs. And it was to be called by his spiritual name and inheritance, the land of Israel. Honey, someday that name that God has for me, there's territories here, Central America, South America, and I've asked God before my life is over with to let me be in just about every continent in this earth so that when I come back here, I have usefulness and fruitfulness and extension and ministry and authority over people and kingdoms in many places of the earth. You say, well, this guy's off. I don't care how off you think I am. I believe God. I believe that God says that he's no accepted person that gave that promise to Jacob. He gave the promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all who were born from their seed. And I am a child of Jacob and Isaac and Abraham by faith. And as it was for them, and as it was given to them by promise, so is it by me. And God has already fulfilled his spiritual promise to Jacob to me, because God dwells in me. His Holy Spirit dwells in me. His Son Jesus dwells in me. And the power that he has dwells in me. And he said, if the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he shall quicken your mortal body. So when I'm sick, I remind him of it. When I'm down, I remind him of it. When I don't have where to go, I remind him of it. When I'm fighting to buy a piece of property, I remind him of it. When I'm going and I'm coming, I remind him of it, because he dwells in me and I have a spiritual name, and my name is Israel, because I've been engrafted into him. And the same God that dwelt bodily in Christ Jesus in the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in me. And that same power can start a service with healing, touching God's people, because that same spirit that's in me does mighty works, like he said did with him, would also do in all those that had the Holy Ghost in them. He didn't just give us the Holy Ghost to babble in some tongue we can't understand only. He did that so that devils couldn't understand your language and your prayers would get through to heaven, so you better get one. He gave you that so you could walk a victorious life and walk over and above this, because it doesn't matter how many wars were fought in Israel, it was still Israel. And even when they left the land and everybody possessed it, in 7 days, God gave it back to them. Move the king of a mighty nation to airlift 24 hours, gunship, aircraft, missiles, and everything through President Nixon. Huh. and in 7 days gave them back their land. Don't tell me that things aren't important that we do. So quit criticizing what other people do and stand behind them, because they're standing there for you. We need to get our feet traveling. We need to get out a little bit from backdoor Georgia. We need to have a vision. We need to have a world vision. We need to have a vision of a God who believes in real estate. If he didn't, why would he claim a piece of the world for himself? And because it's just like God, he picked the piece of property that had the least beauty and the least wealth and the least everything and became the leading nation. Some of the greatest medications that come out of the world come out of there. The greatest scientific breakthroughs are coming out of there. The greatest weapons designed in the world that's already hidden, that's already done and hidden and people don't know about it, are coming out of Israel. All the greatest minds coming out of Israel, in spite of having enemies parked on their back door, we're worried about Mexico. They have the Taliban. They have all kinds of people that are surrounding them on all sides with missiles and everything else aimed at them. And they still stand. God chose the place that was the least possible to make it happen. They're the only people that make gardens grow in the wilderness. They produce stuff and ship it across the world out of wilderness, dry, waste land. Some of the best fruit, some of the juiciest fruit out of the driest land in the world. They were the first that put into effect the drip system in the wilderness. They don't waste water. They don't have that much. It just gives it to where it needs to go. They produce things in laboratory to feed people all around the world, while the rest of them just sit there dying. All they do is buy armament to fight the guys that are next to them, while half their population is dying. Of what? Starvation. Those are the kingdoms of the devil. That's why we want to send food to those places. That's why we want to send our money to those places. Because if you've sent your influence to that place, that's a place you will have influence someday. You bring God to a place, that place will have God in it when you come back to it. We need to think big, not just think, can I make it to church today? We need the revelation that God gave Jacob, that God had a house. It's not in just one place. God has a house. Raise your hand. Say, God has a house. I'm his house. And God's going to manifest himself in his house. There's going to be a ladder that goes into heaven. Angels are going to come up and down upon me like with Jesus. The power of the Holy Ghost is going to be seen in my life. I'm going to be able to affect other people like Jesus did. Because the Father lives in me. Because I'm the house of God. And there's going to be a day where in this house, God appears to me like he appeared to my great grandfathers. And the patriarchs of old, and Jesus his son. Praise the Lord. Hope you believe that. I've rather enjoyed this series on Jacob. I've gotten a lot out of it. I thank the Lord for these encounters. I thank God for making us his house. And you know what? God is in his house. Ask him to manifest himself. He can do it when you're alone. People all over the world have had a manifestation, God appearing to them in private and in churches and in places. Sometimes God can come to you, and sometimes God can take you up to the top of the ladder, like he has Jesse Duplantis, like he has people all over the world that he takes up into heavenly places, and they come back and tell us all about heaven. This is real. This is real. God's a relational God. He's into relationship. I love all these experiences Jacob had, because we come out of the family of Jacob. God's promise was to him and to his seed. And guess what? We're his seed. We're that family that gets blessed through one of his seed, whose name is Jesus. And all the promises of God in him for us are yea and amen. So all the promises to Jacob were in Christ. Amen and yes. And we are in Christ Jesus. And so all the promises of God in us are yea and amen. God says, you'll possess this land. America, you're not going to be owned by all these infidels. You're going to be owned by the children of faith. Whether they be the first race that lived here, or the second one, or the fifth one, or the 12th one. Doesn't matter. It's not about race. It's about the children of God will inherit the earth. That's what he said. God's all about real estate. Believe him. Believe it's important. When you go out, don't rent. Live way below your means. Make a payment and buy. You're saying, I'm making a statement here. There was something that used to be down there and always will be, because even after you sell it and give it to somebody else, that property still belongs to me. We don't undo property. God doesn't undo property. Somebody else might be living on it, but it's your property, because when we come back, every place the sole of your feet were, every place you dwelt, every place the presence of the Lord visited you, it shall be given to you. I know that places I have had for campgrounds and churches and everything else that I've dedicated for the Lord, people have sold to builders, they've sold to other people. I've got business news for you. I've got news for you that someday all the purposes God had for lands and places on earth will be fulfilled like God said. And if I have to wait to another world and come back when we're several million years old, I don't care. God's promises are good forever and ever and ever and ever. And every single one of his words don't die idly on the ground and can't return to him until they're fulfilled. And there's promises God has given me that I don't care how many people go through that property, how many times it's been desecrated or consecrated, in the end it's going to be what God promised it would be. That we had to be called to an attention by Paul when he says, don't you know, aren't you aware that your temple, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know? Yes, you should know. You should be aware of the fact that you are the house of God and God is in his house this morning. Praise the Lord. That ought to make somebody shout.